Invite you to turn in your pew Bibles to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5, that's on page 1030. This is the New Testament commentary, I believe, on Psalm 141. That will be our sermon text, Psalm 141. But hear God's word. Revelation chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. And reading through the 14th verse, it's on page 1030 of our pew Bibles. Hear God's word. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.' And then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." Amen to this reading of God's holy word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand through the ages. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we praise you for the holy privilege of being able to read your word in our own language, even in our own Bibles. Thank you for giving to us your Holy Spirit to help us understand. Lord, thank you as well for the privilege of prayer. Scripture tells us that our prayers are like golden bowls full of incense before the throne of God. So, Lord, we pray that you would be teaching us not only about the privilege of prayer, but the high and holy calling to be a church, a people marked by prayer. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 141 is the concluding psalm in our summer series, using the psalms to help us pray. As you know, I wanted to extend it one more week. Next time we meet, be looking at 1 Corinthians 15 if you want to begin reading ahead, but thinking about psalms and prayer. We've already learned that the psalms teach us that we should start the day with prayer. One of the first psalms we looked at, Psalm 5, we read Psalm 5, verse 3. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. We should start the day with prayer, but we should also conclude the day with prayer. That's why we're looking at Psalm 141, and you'll see in verse 2. Let me read it for us again. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. We should not only gird ourselves in prayer at daybreak, but the Lord calls us to continually seek his face in prayer. You know, so at the finish of each day, let each Christian close the day with prayer. You know, one precious psalm has told the children that you could use for evening prayers is Psalm 141. It's not the only psalm, but it is one of the chief psalms. In writing about this psalm, James Boyce put it this way, Psalm 141 is a psalm in which every word and sentence is a prayer. It's only 10 verses, but it's a beautiful, brief, and a biblical pattern for prayer. You know, the Lord uses this psalm to teach David and to teach us about the sure and sustaining strength that he graciously gives to those who persevere in prayer. And there's the scriptural truth for today. The Lord graciously strengthens and sustains each believer who perseveres in prayer. Well, how does the Lord then grant us his sustaining strength for perseverance in prayer? Our outline this morning will be this. Verses 1 and 2, there's a sacrifice. Verses 3 through 7, supplication, a petition, petitions. And then finally, in verses 8 through 10, there is strength. Begin with the sacrifice of persevering prayer. Look there at Psalm 141. I invite you to keep your Bibles open to that portion of Scripture. That's on page 522. It begins with a steadfast call to the Lord. You know, Yahweh, Jehovah, Lord, all capital letters, I call on you, make haste to help me. You know, two times in that one verse, we're going to hear that little word, call. You know, thus the idea of steadfast prayer, persevering in prayer. It's a personal, powerful, and persevering plea to the Lord by David. And he prays this, Lord, hasten to me. There's a sense of urgency, a cry of distress here. It's almost a 911 kind of prayer, but we're not told what the situation is. But even as he's preparing for sleep, David knows that he needs to spend time with the Lord in prayer. And he prays specifically, Lord, give ear to my voice. Again, incline your ear. And hear my prayers when I call to you. You know, he steadfastly calls out to the Lord, knowing that in prayer, he enjoys immediate and intimate access into the Lord's presence. One commentator, Scrogie, put it this way, the believer always has access to God by prayer. How great the privilege and how wonderful the power of prayer. It's a steadfast call, but it's a sacrificial call of prayer. You know, there in verse 2, let my prayer be counted as incense before you. It's a strong and a sweet scriptural picture of what prayer is like. Think about incense. To give a little bit of biblical background, if This may be an unfamiliar truth to you. Incense was an integral part of Old Testament worship, both in the tabernacle and the temple. In fact, it carries over into Luke chapter 1 when Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, is serving in the temple, serving there at the altar of incense. But you can read about the importance of incense. I'll give you one example. Scripture gives us one example. Exodus chapter 30, verses 7 and 8, a description of the tabernacle and how things were to be laid out, and especially the altar of incense there before the Holy of Holies. And we read Exodus 30, verse 7, "And Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it." That's the altar of incense. "Every morning when he dresses the lamps, he shall burn it. And when Aaron sets up the lamps at twilight, he shall burn it. A regular incense offering before the Lord throughout your generation." So you see the parallel. You would offer incense in the morning, then you would offer incense again at night. And here are the bookends for our prayer life. Prayer in the morning, prayer in the evening, it's a sacrifice as unto the Lord. You know, when you take a look at incense and how it's used, and don't misunderstand, I'm not proposing that we start using it here at Hope Presbyterian Church, but incense was precious. It was costly. It was carefully prepared. You know, to burn incense, it had to be kindled with holy fire and then reverently presented to God. You know, and so you can begin to see the parallels between incense and our prayers. You know, precious, carefully prepared, you know, ascending even into the very presence of God. That's what we read in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. "And when he," this is Christ, we read Revelation 5, verse 8, "and when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." You know, we tend to pray and forget about our prayers. You know, but here Scripture reminds us that our prayers ascend to the very presence of God, and they're so precious to the Lord, they're described as golden bowls. That's a ministry of prayer that God calls us to. Next, our prayers may include, back to Psalm 141, verse 2, "and the lifting up of my hands." Again, it's important to understand what Scripture is teaching us. The word there for lifting up of hands is actually the lifting up of the palms. Your hands are not so much like this as they are like this. Palms upward. You know, it's expressing your need and dependence. Your hands are empty. My hands are empty as we come to God in prayer. And we're saying, God, unless you fill my hands, supply my every need according to your riches and glory, you know, I'm destitute and dying. You know, Ezra chapter 9, verse 5 puts it this way. Ezra chapter 9, verse 5. "And at the evening sacrifice, I rose from my fasting with my garment and my cloak torn and fell upon my knees and spread out my hands to the Lord my God, saying," you know, there Ezra is in desperate need. You know, "God, hear my prayers. God, help me." As I told the children, one of the sweet times of parenting, and yes, there are sweet times, sometimes we tend to forget, but, you know, was bedtime prayers with our children. Our daughter, at least, always liked to prolong the time. I think she didn't want to go to sleep, but she would always ask theological questions. I think she would ask those of me, but then we would pray. Pray for the day, thanking God for who he is, his love for us in Christ. Those were sweet times. I don't know if your home was like our home. Mornings were hectic. You know, no one got up early. Well, I got up early to avoid the panic. But, you know, we were rushing, get dressed, you know, have breakfast, to pray. And so morning prayers were brief. I mean, brief. And so at evening, it was a sweet time of prayer. You know, to linger, to listen, join our hearts in prayers. And not only for parents, mothers, fathers, grandparents. It's good for children to hear your prayers. You know, that's one of the chief ways children learn how to pray is by hearing you pray. Morning, night, meal times, death in the family, crisis, help, hope. You know, in his book on prayer, Dirk mentioned one of Tim Keller's book on prayer. Actually, it's Tim and Kathy Keller who wrote the book. Lynn reminds me of that. But he wrote another book on prayer, commended to you as well, Prayer, Experiencing Awe and Intimacy with God. And in that book, he writes about the prayer life of Martin Luther. And Luther proposed praying twice daily. This is what he wrote, quoted in Tim Keller's book. It is a good thing to let prayer be the first business of the morning and the last at night. Guard yourselves against those false, deluding ideas which tell you, wait a little while, I will pray in an hour. First, I must attend to this or that. You know, think of prayer as bookends. You know, it takes both, two bookends to hold up that stack of books. You know, how much more does prayer, the Lord use prayer to hold up and strengthen our day? You know, pray in the morning. Make space for a morning quiet time. You know, a quiet time, a quiet place. It said a quiet heart before God. But don't forget to pray before you fall asleep. Don't have the exact quote, but C.S. Lewis said, it's fine to fall asleep while you're praying, but don't reserve your chief prayers for bedtime. You know, the Lord hears you and me when we persevere in prayer, the sacrifice of persevering prayer, then the supplications of persevering prayer. In verses 3 through 7, you know, what's a supplication in prayer? It's a personal plea, a cry to the Lord. We make a humble plea before our holy God. You know, and here, even at bedtime, even at night, we hear the psalmist David presenting at least seven supplications, seven petitions before the Lord. I believe the psalmist David here is reflecting back on his day. You know, that's what we often do at night. You know, we're not only thinking about what's coming tomorrow, but we're backpedaling. You know, Lord, was it a good day? Or maybe thinking twice about something we said that we shouldn't have said, or something that we should have said, didn't say. You know, and here I believe David is ready to confess before the Lord, and he's asking the Lord to grant him spiritual strength even as he prays and prepares to fall asleep. You know, he's praying that he would stand strong in the Lord in prayer, almost praying the truth of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I believe this is a dark night of the soul for David. He's having trouble falling asleep. Maybe you've been there. You're wrestling with some spiritual issue, battling some particular temptation. But look at David's supplications. and move through these quickly. And beginning there in verse 3, set or post a guard over my mouth. There I believe that David had said something that day that he shouldn't have said. I believe he's praying for tomorrow. Lord, keep me from saying something stupid, sinful, something that will bring shame to your name. He's almost praying Proverbs chapter 10, or Proverbs 13 verse 3, hear this. Proverbs 13, 3, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. You know, Lord, set a guard over my mouth. The second request, closely related, keep watch over the door of my lips. Don't let my loose lips sink any ships. He's praying for purity of speech. You know, think about that. You know, think of Peter's denial of Christ three times. You know, think of the deceitful words of Ananias and Sapphira there in Acts chapter 5, supposedly Christians. And here David is praying, Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. You know, sometimes we use the word unfiltered today. Well, here David is praying this, Lord, let your Holy Spirit and your Holy Scriptures filter my daily communications. Don't let me speak the first thing that comes to my mind. Lord, pray that I would speak words of wisdom, of encouragement, God-honoring words, true words. Third, strengthen my heart. Again, an image, do not let my heart incline to any evil. You know, Lord, don't let me tip over into sin. Don't let me slide into sin. You know, here he seems to be tilting towards the temptation to sin. You know, a quick glance at Bathsheba taking a bath there on the rooftop. It might be sharing a sweet morsel of gossip for someone else, someone who justifies their anger. I have a right to be angry at that person. You know, maybe it's resisting God's means of grace. We're not told. But Lord, keep my heart from sliding into sin. And then again, to busy myself with wicked deeds in company with men who work iniquity. Lord, I may have to work with wicked people, but Lord, may I be a gospel witness to them. You know, don't let me share the same jokes that they're sharing, use the same language that they're using. You know, and it's an issue of the heart. You know, I'm so thankful that Scripture focuses on the heart. It's not just our mouths and our lips, but it's an issue of the heart. You know, remember that God has graciously turned our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. You know, the fourth petition there, the last part of verse 4, let me not eat of their delicacies. Again, a little bit challenging to understand. David, you know, think of it this way. If you go back to Genesis chapter 2, you know, Eve is admiring the apples. Satan is tempting her. And Scripture says something like this. You know, Eve saw that the apple was good for food, a delight to the eyes, and it would make them wise like God. You know, that's the way sin works. You know, it always looks sweet and succulent and irresistible. You know, but it's like a rotten apple. You've ever bitten into one of those? It looks nice and red on the outside, and you bite into it, and it's all rotten on the inside, and you spit it out. You know, here, let me not eat of their delicacies. It looks tempting, Lord. It looks delicious, but it's deadly. There's poison in the kettle. You know, don't even nibble on evil. Fifth petition, Lord, provide a rebuker. Verse 5, let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. It's, again, a challenging verse to understand, but here David is praying, Lord, bring someone into my life, a righteous, godly friend, who when he sees me sin or thinks I'm being tempted into sin, is going to speak the truth to me in love. You know, may a righteous man strike me. You know, and that's the word. You know, it's may that person hammer me in the head. You know, not just gentle nudges of the elbow, you know, sideways glances. You know, Lord, if that's what it takes for me to acknowledge my sin, let someone come by and hit me with the holy hammer, in love, of course. I'll give you an example. Nathan to King David after his sin with Bathsheba. You know, Nathan didn't let David off the hook. He said, you know, you're the man, David. You know, and at that point, David repented, recognized and repented of his sin. You know, here Proverbs 27, 5 and 6, again from Proverbs. Better open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. You know, that's what God calls us to do in a church family. You know, not just to be polite, sort of talk around the edges. You know, when you're close to someone in Christ and you see that brother or sister in Christ, you know, sliding off into sin, the Lord calls you and me to strike them with that hammer of God's word. And here David prays for that. You know, and I'm going to caution you that if you pray, Lord, bring some righteous person into my life, the Lord's going to say, yes, I'll bring that person. But it's a good thing. You know, it will be oil on his head, balm, medicine. And even then, David says, let my head not refuse it. Yet my prayer is still against their evil deeds. You know, David still knows that he lives in that sinful world. 6, proclaim sweet words. There in verse 6. Verse 6 and 7 are the most challenging verses to understand, and we'll take one pass through them, and if you have more questions, I encourage you to study them. Feel free to call, write, and we'll look at them again. You know, but the emphasis is especially on the last part of verse 6. Then they shall hear my words, for they are pleasant. Keep that in mind. The first picture, when their judges are thrown over the cliff. It's a picture of God and his justice, bringing his holy justice to bear on unholy and unrepentant judges or princes. And David is praying, when the unrighteous are judged, Lord, may that be an opportunity for the gospel to be proclaimed. Then they shall hear my words, the words of the gospel. They are pleasant. They are life-giving words. And then finally, verse 7, even more challenging, but I believe the Lord providentially placed it in our Bibles. Maybe it'll be one of the verses that we'll be studying in heaven, and then we'll be nodding our heads and, oh, that's what it meant. The question is it an imprecatory prayer? Is David calling down judgment upon his enemies, or an intercessory prayer? I believe it's an intercessory prayer that David is praying here. As one, when one plows and breaks up the earth, that's sometimes what God does in our life. Look at Psalm 129, verse 3. David here is enduring affliction. He feels like God is bringing his sharp plows over his back. He's struggling. You know, he's struggling so much he even feels like his bones are scattered at the mouth of Sheol. Sheol there is a place of eternal punishment, almost that word hell. You know, but even as we read Psalm 141, verse 7, keep in mind another portion of Scripture, Ezekiel 37, the valley of dry bones. You know, how God raised up those dry bones, knit them back together. A picture of the resurrection. You know, and so here David is praying truly, I believe, with a faint glimmer, with a hope in the resurrection. You know, Lord, even if these trials keep hitting me day after day after day after day, Lord, may I know that I have a home with you in heaven. That's what we can pray at night. It's been a hard day. We're ready to write that day off. You know, but here's the hope of glory. You know, in prayer, we gladly express our hope in God's gracious and sometimes painful work of revival and resurrection. You know, here God's word is like a mirror. You know, as you look at those supplications, you know, hold that portion of Scripture up before your own face. You know, Lord, where do I need to pray these same supplications, these same prayers? You know, am I guilty of sinful speech, hurtful, hateful speech? You know, is my heart sliding towards attempting sin? Do I have a deadly desire to take just one bite? That's all I want to do, Lord, just a little bite of a wicked delicacy. Do we need a loving rebuke from a God-loving, Christ-glorifying brother or sister in Christ? You know, so pray this before you sleep. It's good to pray it in the morning as well. Lord, search my heart. You know, see if there be any wicked way in me. And then swiftly confess that sin and run to the cross of Christ where there is forgiveness. Finally, there is strength of persevering prayer. Verses 8 through 10. You know, praise the Lord. I believe there's a renewed passion for prayer in these closing verses. You know, that fainting fire is gaining heat and intensity in the psalmist's life, and he's making prayer a priority again. Verse 8, my eyes are towards you, O God, my Lord. I'm not looking inward. I'm not looking at my own life. Lord, I'm not even looking at the struggles, the trials all around me. You know, as we pray, we're looking unto Jesus. For towards you, O God, my Lord, my eyes. You know, think of Peter as he sank into the stormy seas. Why? He took his eyes off the Lord, just saw the wind and the waves around him. You know, think of this verse when we sing our last hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's what it tells us, Hebrews 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. And that's what we do when we're praying. We're looking unto the Lord, that he would hasten to come to us, that he would help us, that he would give us hope in Christ. In you, verse 8, I seek refuge. In no one else, Lord, but it's in you that I seek my refuge. You know, Lord, don't leave my soul defenseless. Don't leave me out in the cold, all alone. Lord, remind me that you're a God who is with me, a God who loves me in Christ. But still he prays, almost further supplications. Keep me from the trap that they have laid for me. He knows tomorrow is still going to be a hard day. Satan is still that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Lord, keep me from that tiger trap. I may not even see it, Lord. You know, but guard my steps so I don't walk into that trap, into that snare that they've set for me. And then finally he prays, let the wicked fall into their own nets. Lord, you're God. You sit upon the throne. One day they will be judged, Lord, and I'm going to rest in that while I pass by safely. And again, I believe that points us ahead to Jesus and to salvation. I pass by safely. And here are these words, 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. You know, there David is praising God, knowing that God has saved him, presently saves him, will always save him. You know, read Psalm 141 again tonight. Don't let the news, you know, be the last thing on your mind. I'm preaching this to myself. Not sports, not a hurricane in the Gulf. Lord, may I pray Psalm 141. May I pray specifically some of the supplications, maybe not all seven, but one or two or three. And finally, Lord, may I know that you are my refuge. When I'm walking with the Lord, I will pass by safely. That's a precious promise of persevering prayer. Our Lord and our God, we do thank you for that privilege of prayer that you've given to us. Thank you that we can come before your throne of grace with confidence because of Christ. Lord God, pray that we would start the day with prayer, end the day with prayer, kneeling before your throne. Pray that we would pray without ceasing as well throughout the day, knowing that we are weak, we are frail, we're fallen. But thank you that we have a strong Savior. Pray this in Jesus' name.